Boker Tov world. Today's daf from Masechet Makot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Daf Tet Vav, but we're holding at the bottom of Yudalad Amud Beit, last word on the penultimate line. So as you recall, we understand the nature of the perek here to be not really so much about the dinim of Makot per se, but rather an examination of the underlying concept of the various azarot and types of azarot that are able to be mevi to Makot. So we've examined, meanwhile, just a few of the basic ideas, the difference between an aseh and a lotaseh, a lotaseh sheyesh bo karet, a lotaseh shein bo karet, an azara shenitan lazarat mitat beitin, the concept of a lav hanitak vaseh, lav sheyesh bo maaseh, lav shein bo maaseh, and a number of other inyanim. And today we want to explore a new idea. Instead of a lav hanitak vaaseh, which normally would mean in the event that you were over the lav, this is what to do about it. Let's take the case of notar. Lo totiru mimenu ad boker. That's a lotaseh. And then it continues on to say, v'anotar mimenu ad boker ba'ish tisaref. What to do in the event that you actually did wait until it became notar. So that is a classic lav hanitak la'aseh. But how about today, Rabbi Yochanan introduces, well, actually, it's quoted by Rabbi Papachana, what about a lav that the aseh came before the lav? So we can't really view it as a standard lav hanitak la'aseh because it's clearly not meant to be the tikkun of the lav. It was there before. So let's examine that new concept today. Omar Rabbi Barbachana, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, in the event that a lotaseh has an aseh that was mentioned before, then it's not called a lav hanitak la'aseh, and in that case, you would get malchus for it. So this is like a new category of a type of hazara. So the people that were standing there, amrulo, so they said to him, Amrit, did you really say that? Amar lalo, no, me? Absolutely not. What are you talking about? So obviously, he had changed his mind. Now the question is, why exactly did he change his mind? So Amar Rabba, look, I could say to you, by God, he definitely did say it. I swear he said it. Don't believe a word. But not only did he say it, I mean, it's actually very clear from the Pasuk and very clear from the Mishnah, if you put the two together, meaning. On the one hand, we have, here's a perfect example, okay? We're talking about the mitzvah aseh comes first, all right? It says in Noseh, Vayishalchu min ha-machane, kol tzarua v'chol zav v'chol tamei lanefesh, right? And then, that's mitzvah aseh, and then it says, v'lo yitama'u et machaneh. Now that means that you've got an iser on these people to go into this area and to be metameit. And if he does, so then he would be over on a lav. Now, the question is, do you get malchus on that lav? We just had in our Mishnah that it says beferish that you do get malchus in that lav. The list of the malchus included the case of Tanina Habala Migdash Tameh, somebody who walks into the Migdash, one he's tame, despite the fact that there was a mitzvah saseh to leave. Okay? So that proves what Rabbi Yochanan was reported by Rabbi Bar Bachana as saying, that just because there's an aseh associated with the lav, that doesn't make it a lav anitak la'aseh. The aseh has to come after the lav and not before the lav. So I don't know what Rabbi Yochanan's problem is with this, because it sure seems to be very strongly confirmed by our Mishnah. So, okay, so then why indeed Elamaitaima Kahadarbe? Why did he change his mind? It must be because he had a problem with the din of rape. What was the din over there? Kashile Ones. The Braita says that if a rapist had, remember that the mitzvah is that lo tieh le'isha, he has to actually marry this woman, and lo yuchal shalcha ko yamav, and he's not allowed to divorce her ever. So now, that's a classic example, isn't it? Lo tieh le'isha is a mitzvah taseh, but it becomes before the lo taseh of lo yuchal shalcha ko yamav, which, according to what Rabbi Yochanan just said, should fall under this new category of an azhara shekodmo asay. And yet, interestingly enough, the din is not like he said it would be, but rather he can now go ahead, and if he divorced her, he can now go ahead and remarry her, even though the remarriage was a mitzvah before the divorce, and at that point he wouldn't get malchus. Apparently, even though the mitzvah came before the lav, it still acts as a lav anitik laaseh. Very good question. By seeing that, Rabbi Yochanan said, gosh, I obviously have made a mistake in making this a general rule. So let's see that inside. If an ones divorced the woman that he had married, and he was over on the Yisr of Lo Yuchal Shalchako Yamav, he can just go and remarry her. If he remarries her, then Marzir Ve'eno Loke. He doesn't get Malkus, despite the fact that he was over the Lav. Now, in the event that he's a Kohen, now he's in trouble, because if he's a Kohen, he cannot remarry her because she's a divorcee. The fact that she's his own divorcee doesn't change anything. She still is a divorcee, and she's a sur after a Kohen. In that case, he's unable to be Mekayim the Asay, so then he's Loke Ve'eno Malchzir. At that point, he would actually get Malchus. So what's the problem to Rabbi Yochanan? The problem is that im Yisrael hu marzir ve'eino loke. But why isn't this part of what my rule should have covered? It's a lo ta'aseh shekodmo asehu, and according to my rule, what should it then be? Lilke. And therefore, I'm clearly wrong. My rule is wrong. So when you ask me, do you stand by this? No, absolutely not. I don't think it's true. Omar Ula, I don't see, says Ula, why this in any way would cause problems for Rabbi Yochanan. I don't understand why he would change his mind based on this. It actually fits very well with Rabbi Yochanan anyway. How is that? Because, look, the Torah should never have said this idea of lo tieh le'isha, this mitzvah of marrying the woman that was raped. It shouldn't have mentioned it with the din of rape. It should have simply allowed us to learn out the halacha of lo tieh le'isha from the motzi sheim ra, because I have a kal v'chomer. A motzi sheim ra, remember, this is a man who marries this betula, so she's between 12 and 12 and a half years old, and he accuses her of, he doesn't find betulim, and she slept with somebody after he had already given her kedushin, and she's a surah on him, and if she's got edim, he would even be b'chayev for misa, for adultery. If it turns out that he was lying, so what does it say over there? Because of the fact that he was shemotzi shemra al betulat Yisrael, v'lo tiyel adisha, lo yuchal shalcha kol yamav. Okay, now, that's besides, of course, the fact that we beat him up, he gets Malchus, and not only does he get Malchus, he also has to pay a knas of meyashkolim, but he has to marry her. Now, we should be able to learn out from that din that is said by Motzi Shemra, with a kal v'chomer, if he has to marry the woman about whom he just said the wrong things, al achas kama v'kama, a rapist should have to marry a woman against whom he did the wrong things. He raped her. So, why don't I say like this? Umar motzi shemra shelo asa ma'aseh. The person who only said bad things about this woman that he married, and nonetheless he has to, in claiming that she had slept with someone else, he has to keep her as a wife forever. Omer Achmana v'lo tieh le'isha. So if he actually did something like that to her, and he did sleep with her, as a rape. So, ones lo kosher came? So why did the Torah mention Bichlal, a din by an ones that I could have learned out with the Skal V'chomer from the Motzi Shemra? Ah, imeno inyan lefanav. So it's not coming to tell me, therefore, the Chiddush, that you're supposed to marry her because that's a given. So why then do I repeat it, so to speak? Because I could have learned it from the Kal V'chomer. So it's as if I have two psukim, lo tia l'isha. Ah, one of them is, now go ahead and marry her. And the other one is, if you did marry her and you violated the marriage by being over on the iser of lo yuchal garsha, remarry her. That's the point. So we have two separate mitzvahs. One of them acts as Rabbi Yochanan's classic, a kodmo asay, but the other one acts as a lava nitakla asay, because it comes afterwards. So I think that we can certainly continue to support Rabbi Yochanan's original opinion, and there's no need for us to change anything. I don't know why he pulled back. Says Gemara, now wait, that's not a good Kal V'chomer. You can't learn out an ones from a motzi shemra, because ikala mifrach mala motzi shemra shekin lo keum mishalem. Remember, we already saw what is unique about the motzi shemra is that the Torah says beferush. Not only does he get malchus, he also pays. Now, this is in violation of one of the basic ideas of the Kidei Rishato and what the Chachomim said earlier, that kol hamishalem eno loke, and over here, he gets both malchus and tashlumi, which means that Motzi Shemra is in a unique situation because of the fact that Motzi Shemra and Lashon Hara, as the Gemara and Erechin points out, is worse than rape. So if that's the case, and that's why he pays double. If he actually rapes a woman, he pays chamishim shekel. But if you say something that reflects badly on her, something sexual similar to rape, then that is worse than rape. And indeed, people who are the victims of Lashon Hara often will use that, whether I feel raped. And that's exactly the point. So maybe that's why the Torah over there says he can never divorce her. And he has to marry her, never divorce her. But how do you know that that would apply to the lesser issue of rape? Mind you, this is a classic example of the inversion of Western values with Torah values, you understand? I mean, you tell a Westerner you're supposed to marry your rape victim, they'll think you're insane. you tell them it's much worse to say something about the woman than the actual raper. He'll have you arrested. So sometimes it's really funny the way that there's an inversion of values. But anyway, so therefore, Ula is wrong because we cannot support Rabbi Yochanan's original new idea of a type of Azora Shekodmo Asay, because it certainly would appear that it is shown to be wrong by the case of the Yones, and we cannot learn a din of an extra Mitzvah Asay because of Motzi Shemra as a Kal V'chomer, because it's not a Motzi Shemra. Okay, wait a minute. I'm not ready to give up on Ula so quickly. Hold on. We can modify Ula and make it work. I'll tell you what we can say. We should say like this. Why does it say lo tie le'isha by motzi shemra? That's the way to do it. I had a mistake. I thought that rape was worse than motzi shemra. Okay, fine. You've corrected me. So let's learn it in the other direction, okay? Let the Torah not say lo tie le'isha by motzi shemra, and I would learn it out of an ones, because an ones, there's no din of loku mishalem by an ones. He owes the chamishim shekel, but we don't give him malchus. And even over there, in that less chomor area, the Torah said he has to marry her, lo tie le'isha. So isn't it obvious that a motzi shemra would have to be lo tie le'isha? So why did the Torah mention lo tie le'isha by motzi shemra? Same argument, but in reverse. So I don't need it for motzi shemra. So with an im eino inyan, I can now take it as an extra lav to the ones. But wait, an extra mitzvah to the ones. But I know already that you have to marry her. Exactly. But I know it only by having it mentioned before you were over by gerushin. And you didn't divorce her, so you're up front, you're supposed to marry her. Do I also have another mitzvah saseh to tell me that if you did divorce her, that you have to remarry her? Yes, from here. Im eino inyan lemotzi shemra, tneu inyan leones. And im eino inyan lefanav, because it already says beferush that you have to marry your rape victim, tneu inyan leacharav, that in the event that you went ahead and divorced your rape victim, that you would now have a new mitzvah learned out from motzi shemra to marry her. So it could still support Rabbi Yochanan, and he could have his general rule, which after all was firmly based on the din of Shiluach min HaMachane of Tmeim and the subsequent Isser of the not going into the Machane, and that supports Rabbi Yochanan 100%, and the Kasha that he had from the Ones who divorced is not a problem, because it turns out that we have a hidden additional mitzvah taseh, which turns it into a normal lav hanitik laseh. Okay, everybody good on this? A little bit complicated, but okay. Is it too late in California, or you're okay? All right. Now, problem is, this doesn't work either. No? Sorry. because you can't learn out. Not only can you not learn out the ones from the motzi shemra, but you can't learn out motzi shemra from ones either. Because you could always say what we said before. Ikal mifrach, you would still have the question of maybe, in fact, ones is more chomer because he did an action as opposed to just talking about something. And if he did an action, so maybe that's the reason that he would have to marry her as his wife. But the case of the motzi shemra, we could always say, maybe when you don't do an action, you don't have to marry her. So you can't learn it from there either. All right, wait a second. I don't want to give up yet. Let me just add one point to the Ula argument, and we can still make it work according to Rabbi Yochanan. We just need to have a little bit of careful adjustment. What I want to say is like this. The Torah should not have mentioned Lo Tiye Le'isha by Motzi Shemra for another reason. What do you mean Lo Tiye Le'isha? She's married to him. The whole point of Motzi Shemra is that he said something about his wife. Okay, so now all it needed to say was Lo Yuchal LeGarsha. Why does it say that Lo Tiye Le'isha if he's already married? Okay, so then obviously, why does it say it? It must mean that there's an additional mitzvah of Lo Tiye Le'isha im eino inyan lemotzi shemra, so tneu inyan leones. But it already has that mitzvah by an ones. Ah, so im eino inyan lefanav tneu inyan leacharav. So it's still good. Ah, come on, that's ridiculous. If there's an im eino inyan, so then where do you... That's crazy. You're right. Lo Tiye Le'isha makes no sense. You know what it means? Imeinu inyan lefanav, tneu inyan la'acharav for motzi shemra. If the motzi shemra divorced his wife, he has to take her back. Why are you making it imeinu inyan and applying it to an ones when you should be applying it directly to the motzi shemra? Because you want to make that also a case of a lav hanitik laaseh, right? So, Ve'ema, you should have said, Imeinu inyan lefanav of motzi shemra, not Imeinu inyan lefanav of ones, Tneu inyan la'acharav of motzi shemra, today, the law lucky. Yeah, that's true. Okay. It's still going to work because I'll accept that, all right? The motzi shemra, who divorces his wife, has a mitzvah saseh to take her back. Where does it say that? With the Imeinu Inyan, because it didn't have to say that he should marry her since she already was married. So obviously what it's saying is in the event that he divorced her illegally, he would have to remarry her. Okay, yes, you're right. Okay, now you're saying, okay, but what does that have to do with ones? Ah, I say, now let's learn out ones from the Motzi Shemra, that just like the Motzi Shemra is putter from Malkus if he divorces his wife because he can remarry her. So to the ones, if he divorces his wife, even if he was Mekayim the Mitzvah and he married her, this rape victim, but if he divorces her, he's not going to get Malkus because he can remarry her. What are you doing, man? I thought we just said you can't learn out one from the other. But my God, I mean, how exactly are you now saying suddenly you can learn out the ones from the Motzi Shemra? What, with a Kal Vachomer? You're going to use a Kal Vachomer. You're going to use a Mamatzinu. I mean, I already showed you that they're not the same. Ikel HaMifrach, I'm going to ask the same question I asked before. A Motzi Shemra didn't do anything, and therefore, maybe that's why, if he divorces her, he's able to remarry her and get out of the Malkus. But maybe when it comes to the Ones who did do something, he didn't act. So then maybe for an action, you can't get out of the Malkus. This is no good. This is no good. All right, please, let's forget about Ula. Let's start a new approach over here. Is there a way for Rabbi Yochanan's din, namely, that there's a new category that is called a lav shekodmo aseh instead of a lav anitik aseh, and he's got a problem from the din of ones. Is there another answer? Because the ones, it says, beferish, can remarry or not get malchus, according to Rava, the mitzvah to marry her comes before the malchus. How do we explain it? Elo amar Rava. Rava says, there's a very simple answer. If the Torah says, lo yuchal shalcha, you're not allowed to send her away. Okay. We have the mitzvah of lo tiye le'isha. Why do you have to say, lo yuchal l'shalcha as kol yamav? What's the sense of kol yamav? What would I think? Lo yuchal l'shalcha what? For 45 days? Lo yuchal l'shalcha for 45 years? I mean, at what point would you have thought that there's an expiry date on the lo yuchal l'shalcha? So if the Torah adds kol yamav, what do you think that's telling you? It's absolutely unnecessary. Well, I'll tell you what it's telling you. Kol yamav ba'amod va'achzer. That's what it's telling you. That in the event that you did, then kol yamav. Don't think, okay, I got away with it. At least I got rid of her. Maybe they'll beat me up. But heck, it was worth it. Let me tell you, one day with her is worth a thousand malkias, right? He said, no, kol yamav, you're still going to be stuck with the no good. Like, and you'll have to remarry your kol yamav. That's what the point of the kol yamav is. So kol yamav ba'amod v'achzer. So basically the Torah is telling you specifically, don't think there's a way of getting rid of her. You're still going to be chayiv to take her back. And that would explain why you don't get malchus, because you do have this new chiyuv of kol yamav ba'amod v'achzer. And actually, the Ata Ravin, he said the same thing that Rava said, and he actually quotes Rabbi Yochanan with it. Now, Rabbi Yochanan himself said that kol yamav ba'amod v'achzer. So if that's the case, then Rabbi Yochanan, if he originally had changed his mind about his new rule about alota seshekodmo aseh, if he himself understands that there's no problem anymore because of the amod v'achzer from the case of the ones, so then he didn't have to change his mind. So apparently now he changed his mind about changing his mind. And now he's back to his original approach, that there is this new idea of a mitzvah, that comes before a lav, and in that case, you would get malchus. Omalei Rav Papa Larova, I don't understand for another reason. I don't understand why are we ignoring the obvious issue. Remember that we said before that we have actually a archetypical concept of lo tachsom shor b'disho, right? And we said the reason that the Torah said lo tachsom shor b'disho in the middle of Adim Zomimim and Malkus is to give me this model. That model is anything that is like lo tachsom shor b'disho is going to be chayav Malkus. Anything that is unlike lo tachsom shor b'disho will not get malchus. Is there a mitzvah aseh associated with lo tachsom before or after? Is there any mitzvah aseh? No. So why isn't that ipso facto enough of a reason to say that the bottom line is, I don't care whether it's before or after, there can't be malchus because there's no basis for malchus, because the only basis for malchus is lo tachsom. So I don't get it. Said Rava, I don't understand what you're saying. What do you mean it's not like it? Is there a particular reason why adding a mitzvah saseh is going to make things worse? The fact that the Torah wants you not to do this, you're saying, that would make me chayav malchus. So now if it also gave you a mitzvah in the first place to make sure that this is the opposite of what you're doing. For instance, the Torah would have given you a mitzvah of v'yishalchu min ha-machaneh. Get every person tameh out of that Beis HaMikdash area. So that's going to make the iser of not going into the Beis HaMikdash less chamor? Because there's also a mitzvah not to go in there? What's the logic in that? I mean, it has to, when we say it has to be similar to lo tachsom, it means it has to be similar in a way that is relevant to the question of whether this is a type of iser that is chamor or not. Why would adding a mitzvah saseh to a lo taseh make it less likely to get malchus? Huh? Says Rav Papa. So then you could say the same thing if the mitzvah comes afterwards. I don't understand what you're saying. We took it for granted that if the mitzvah comes afterwards, that then it's not going to get malchus. And so now Rabbi Yochanan was saying, yeah, but if the mitzvah comes before, then it is going to get malchus. And I'm saying, but neither of those are similar to lo tachsom, and therefore it is reasonable to say that it's because it doesn't fit the model. Now you're telling me, well, what do you mean? It doesn't make any sense. If it doesn't make any sense, then adding a mitzvah afterwards, that does make sense, that it should be less chomer, because I added a mitzvah afterwards. So you'd have the same argument by saying, alav anitik latzei nami. Why can't you tell me you're the same sort of what? Because the Torah wants you to have a mitzvah saseh, so now it's less chomer. You should say, for sure you should get malchus if it's a lav anitik laseh. Omar Leh said, well, what's the matter with you? If the mitzvah aseh comes afterwards, then the point of that mitzvah aseh, since you can only be mekayim this mitzvah aseh when you have the mitzvah losaseh that you were over. Don't you understand? So what, you're already over on it. So what's the mitzvah aseh here? The mitzvah aseh is obviously coming to break the connection between the lo taseh and the normal malchus that would follow. Okay? So that's linatuke, to break, click, the lav off of the malchus it's coming for. That's the issue. So there it makes sense. Not because of the modeling of lo tachsom. It's innate in the whole concept of having a mitzvah aseh after you're over on the lav. So that's a unique type of aseh, but you're telling me if I have a general mitzvah aseh, that should make things less? If there's also a lav, I don't understand what the logic would be in that. Okay, anyway, now we are about to embark on a marvelous and exciting journey about the notion of a lav anitek laaseh, in which there is an extremely important machlokas that is profoundly definitive of how lav anitek laaseh works. And that is called the machlokas between bitlo velo bitlo or kimo velo kimo. Now, I think, if Gavi will show his face, I think that we already have dealt with this properly, but he has to check his list, because if not, then this idea of kimo velo kimo, bitlo velo bitlo is a very fundamental notion. And the question is like this. When the Torah gives a mitzvah, a lav that is nitek la'aseh, so what does that mean? Does that mean that Beis Din picks up the rod, they're ready to give this guy malchus, and he says, wait, I'll remarry her. All right, you've got 2 seconds to do that. If not, we're beating you up. That's called kimo velo kimo. So what would it mean? You were actually over the lav already, and therefore you deserve malchus. We're going to give you that malchus. You've got an aseh which can fix that. All right, let's see if you do it. Go ahead. No? But I will, I will. Get out of here, you will. We're come first. Pow! Right? So that would be based on the idea that the lav itself was already completed when you did the lav. It's not that the mitzvah's aseh extends the lav in any way. It does one thing and one thing only. It saves your rear end, except that we don't only give malchus on rear ends, but we'll talk about that later. So the only purpose of that mitzvah's aseh, it gets you out of the malchus, but it does not redefine the lav in any way. Now, there's another way of looking at it. The other way of looking at it is that what the Torah means when it adds the asay to the after the lav is that if there is a way of addressing it, then the lav has not actually been completed until you make it impossible to address it any longer. And now, at that moment, and only at that moment, did you complete the lav. So, for instance, let's say in our case, so you have this mitzvah of Amod V'Achzer, right? You go ahead and you divorce this woman. So now, if you learn chemo v'lo chemo, Bez then comes, arrests you, and gets you ready for getting beaten up, and gives you 2 seconds to go and marry her, and if not, we're beating you up. That would be chemo v'lo chemo. But bitlo v'lo bitlo would mean that the Bez then says to you, all right, we're going to give you malchus. You say, well, giving me malchus for what? For divorcing. What do you mean? You can only give me malchus for divorcing when it's no longer possible for me to fix it. I mean, if the Torah says, b'kol yamav amod v'achzer, I mean, I figure I've got a normal lifetime, you know. So I'll see you later, alligator. Like maybe, you know, maybe 20 years come back. Maybe by then I'll have married her, you know. What are you sitting here threatening me with malchus when I didn't even do the lav yet? The lav is only completed when I make it impossible to take her back. Maybe if I shoot her. Or maybe if I make a neder, I'll das rabim, that there's no possible way to make haforan, that this woman is asura bahanov for me forever and ever. Okay, so at that moment that you did that, you were over on the lot, right? Now, there's a big difference between those two. Now, let me point out another very important issue that this is going to involve very shortly. And that is, if the lav is completed at the time, and now the mitzvah asay is only for sparing your rear end again, then that means the hatra'ah that you give the person at the time that he's going to be over on the lav is a full-scale hatra'ah. I'm warning you, do not divorce her because you're going to get malchus. You were over on that lav. So then the fact that you could go ahead and save yourself from that malchus, okay, that's your business. But the fact is you're about to be over a lav to Shekhaya malchus. That's a perfectly good hatra'ah. But on the other hand, if you hold of chemo velo chemo, so then at the time that somebody says, don't you dare divorce her, you're going to be Chayav Malchus. The guy turns around and says to you, what are you talking about? Why would I be Chayav Malchus? What do you mean? The Torah says you can't divorce her. No, the Torah says you can't divorce her and not remarry her. Okay, now how are you giving me Malchus and threatening me with Malchus for divorcing her? That's not the Isser. The Isser is don't divorce her and be unable to remarry her. But that's not the situation. So there's no way you can give me Hatra'ah. Yes, there is. I'll give you this kind of hatra'ah. Don't give her a divorce because you might get malchus. Might? That's called hatra'at safek. And a hatra'at safek, maybe that's not called hatra'ah. Now, that would mean that the machloket about chemo velo chemo or bitlo velo bitlo would be dependent also on your shita about whether you can ever give malchus in the event that it would be a chemo velo chemo situation. You cannot combine the belief that the understanding of a lav anitik lase is that the ase is part of the lav, and you won't be over the lav until, and only then, until you make it impossible to be mekayim that ase. You can't combine that with a shita that malchus requires a definite hatra'ah, because there's never any way to give that definite hatra'ah, you see? So if you're going to hold the chemo velo chemo, it must be on a basis of your also holding that hatra'at safek is considered to be a valid hatra'ah. You see how the two issues are intertwined over here? Excellent. All right, why has Menachem El also left me? Akiva, I mean, here I am with my boost. It's not enough to keep Akiva around. I don't know what's going to be here. Menachem, do not forget me. Oh, Menachem. Okay. You know, Richie finds porridge more interesting than me. You know, what can you do? We used to be good friends. That's what happens when you stop showing up in Finland. All your old friends forget you. Yeah. All right. The big N's got his own problems, I guess. But we sure miss him. And we'd sure love to know how our Lion Cup is doing. We don't see him. We don't see Tsuri. What's going on around here? How are we supposed to continue with this way? Mela, David Solomon in Poland. Okay, can't have tinnitus about videos in Poland, I guess. Alrighty. Well, thanks for showing at least something. Fine. So is this good so far? This is like a complex kind of issue that we've got over here. So we've introduced this idea of the difference between a lava nitakla assay, a subsequent assay, versus an assay that comes before a lav. And we've explained the difference between the two when it comes to the model of chasima, and that it's completely unrelated. And we've now shown that how to understand the concept of a lava nitakla assay is very, very different if you view it as being part of the lav, or you just be viewing it as a way of saving yourself from the onesh on the lav. One would be called, the latter would be called kimo velo kimo. The former would be called bitlo velo bitlo. Only if you were mevatel the assay, then the lav kicks in. And we've seen that those two ways of approaching the concept of a lav anitikla assay would be very much a function of what you hold about hatra atzafek. Because you can only understand the concept of getting a malchus on a lav, which is in the event that you were mevatel, the iser, the mitzvah say afterwards, the bitlo velo bitlo, if you're also ready to accept the fact that at the time that you gave the hatra'ah, you can actually give the hatra'ah based on the maybe you'll get malchus. Okay, so far so good. Now, there's one additional little point that I just want to clarify, which is important. You could ask, why is it dependent? Why is the hatra'ah dependent on hatra'at safek? Why don't you give the hatra'ah right at the at the time that the person is being mevatel the assay? And say, don't you dare be mevatel this assay, because if you do, now you're going to be chayim malchus on the lav that you did before when you divorced her. The answer to that, gentlemen, is the overall concept that we have seen many times. The hatra'ah cannot be given on a condition of the iser. It has to be given on the actual iser. The classic example of this is that if a guy makes a neder, that this black bread is usher for me to eat if I went ahead and ate this white roll before. So now the question is like this. If it's only going to be usher to you if you ate the white roll, so then can you give the guy hatra'ah and say, don't eat that black roll because maybe you will eat the white roll and then it will have been usher to eat? No. Not if you hold this hatra'ah, it's a fake, it's not a hatra'ah. But what about if he already ate the black roll and now he's about to eat the white roll? Don't eat the white roll because now it'll turn out that the black roll that you ate was usher bana. You're not going to get malchus for that because that was the condition. It wasn't the fundamental iser, you see. Same thing is true over here. If you hold bitlo velo bitlo, you can't give the hatra'ah to be retroactive on the actual iser of the divorce because now, 20 years later, you've made it impossible for you to ever remarry her. That's not called the hatra'ah. The hatra'ah has to be on the Iker lav of the divorce itself. So don't let that part trouble you. Good? All right, so we've disposed of that issue. Now we can proceed in the Gemara, because the Gemara assumes that you know all of this before we've even learned it. So we had to have this little session, and I hope you've enjoyed this little sweet session about bitlo velo bitlo and kimo velo kimo. But the Gemara... the Gemara really figured you know all about this anyway. So it, in as often happens, it reverses its presentation. We're going to get to the bitlo velo bitlo only after discussing the question of how to understand the idea of lava nitikla say. And then after that, we'll get to the relationship to hatra'at safek. So it's really a reverse presentation, and now we're able to take the Gemara as it goes, okay? So says the Gemara, this machlokas, we say over here, that both Rava and Ravin, who quotes Rabbi Yochanan, they both say that if an ones is a Bekayim the mitzvah, and he marries this girl, and then he divorces her, if he goes and remarries her because of the mitzvah of Kol Yamav Ba'amod V'Achzer, he will not get Malkus. But that only works if you hold Bitlo V'lo Bitlo. Because by using the words Kol Yamav Ba'amod V'Achzer, that means you've got your whole life to remarry her. But if you hold Kimo V'lo Kimo, you don't have your whole life to remarry her. You have 2 seconds to remarry her in order to save your skin. And now, the best that if you don't remarry her right now, you can't say, well, I'll remarry her in 50 years. No, sir. No, sir. You were already over on the Lotase. You're Chaya Malkus. But I could still do it. Yeah, you could still do it right now. Go ahead. You didn't do it. Pow. Right? So it only works out according to the sheet of Bitlo V'lo Bitlo. How can you possibly say, Kol Yamav, you got your whole life, you don't have your whole life? The whole Lima doesn't even make sense. Okay, so what? So therefore what? So therefore you've got a problem, you're saying now, that how is Reb Yochanan going to understand this? But you were only asking according to Reb Yochanan. You weren't asking the questions. We were only coming to address. How do we explain Rabbi Yochanan's rule that alav shekodmo asay, you don't get, that was our whole question. And the answer that we were giving, well, even according to Rabbi Yochanan, we have over here a kol yamav, and a kol yamav creates a new mitzvah afterwards. Okay. Now you're asking me, but that's only if you hold of the din of Bitlo V'lo Bitlo. Well, guess what? Rabbi Yochanan is the one who holds Bitlo V'lo Bitlo. So what do you care? So Ravin and Rava both were coming to explain Rabbi Yochanan, and they did a lovely job by talking about this extra pasuk of Kol Yamav and the fact that it only works out if you hold Bitlo V'lo Bitlo. That's perfect, because that's exactly what Rabbi Yochanan holds. Okay? So meeting you with time, hello, Rabbi Yochanan. The whole problem that you're raising now is how to Rav and how to Rav explain Reb Yochanan according to the Mandiyomer of Kimo V'lo Kimo. I don't give a hang because Reb Yochanan doesn't hold the Kimo V'lo Kimo. Here's the classic case of the Machlokas of Kimo V'lo Kimo, Bitlo V'lo Bitlo. Guess who argue? Reb Yochanan and Reish Lakish. They're the ones who argue about that case. Here's the case. Reb Yochanan says to Atana, who said over in front of him a braita that made no sense, and Rabbi Yochanan says to the Tana, look, man, you're really messing up this braita. The correct way to say this braita is, if you were bitlo, then you're chayev, but if you weren't bitlo, then you're potter. Now, since we're going reverse order, now let me tell you what that braita was, okay? And then you'll see what he meant. The Tani Tana Gamed Reb Yochanan, here walks in a Tana, into the Beis HaMedrash. A Tana, remember, doesn't mean the Tana, in this case, who said, who was a member of the Tanoim. Obviously, that wasn't, it means a Tana in the other sense of Tana, a person who goes around quoting Braitot. Okay, so this person who's a Baki in Braitot, he comes in, and he's Tana Gamed Reb Yochanan. That kol mitzvat lo taseh she yesh ba kum aseh. If you have a mitzvah aseh after the mitzvah lo taseh, kiyam aseh shebas, if he went ahead and he was mekayim that mitzvah aseh, then and only then is he potter from malchus. But if he was bitel aseh shebas, if he was mevatel it, then he's chayim. And Rabbi Yochanan said to him, you are speaking utter nonsense, you fool. You can't have a braita that says that because it's a contradiction. First you say that if he was Mekayim the essay, which means, but if you weren't Mekayim it yet, we're going to beat you up. Right? And then you say, no, but you're only Chayev if he was Mevato the essay. You just said before if he wasn't Mekayim. Now you can't have it both ways. Either you're going to say, Kiyem, your Potter, Lo Kiyem, your Chayev, or you're going to say, Bitel, your Chayev, and lo bitel your putter. But you can't mix metaphors like you're doing. You can't say lo kiyem and then say bitel. That's crazy. So you're wrong. So Rabbi Yochanan says to him, Mike Armand, what do you think you're saying? You think you're talking something intelligent? You're talking nonsense. If you're going to say Kiyem is Potter, then you're going to have to say, but if Lo Kiyem, you're Chayev. And if you're going to say Bitel is Chayev, which is what you said at the end, then you're going to have to say Lo Bitel Potter at the beginning. I say, now obviously, you know, this is my personal opinion, says Rabbi Yochanan. I'm just pointing out to you that you are misquoting the Braita. As far as what the correct language of the Braita is, I can only suggest. Now, I suggest that the correct lashon of the Braita is, Tanei, the way to learn the Braita is use the word bitlo, chayav, lo bitlo, patur. Whereas Reish Lakish says, now, Rabbi Yochanan is quite right that he was talking nonsense. However, Rabbi Yochanan's personal opinion about how he should have said it, I disagree with. I think it would have made more sense to say, Kimo, if you were Mekayim it, then you're Potter. Lo Kimo, then you would be Chayev. So this is the classic Machlokas. Now, what is this Machlokas dependent on? Incredibly, it's dependent on Hasra Sofek. As we saw before. Because the difference between Kimo v'lo Kimo and Bitlo v'lo Bitlo is not just a technical question of at what point you end up getting Malkus. It's a redefinition of what the relationship is between the Lav and the Asay. If you hold Bitlo v'lo Bitlo, what it means is that the Lav is only actually complete when there's no longer a possibility of being metaken, it is at that point that the lav is finished. So that means that, how did you ever give Malkus? You must have warned him and told him you might get Malkus. Well, that's Hasra Suffolk, isn't it? I mean, we don't know that you're going to end up making a netter that I'll never be able to marry this woman because it's a netter, I'll das rabbi him and whatever, which the Gemara goes through elsewhere. So therefore, b'maika miflege, behatra at safek miflege. So clearly, Rabbi Yochanan holds hatra at safek is considered to be a proper hatra'a, and you can get malchus for that. And therefore, if 20 years later you were mavatel the lav, the mitzvah say at that moment you're over the lav, and then you get malchus. Malchus, where is the hatra'a 20 years ago? But you didn't know, so it was hatra at safek. But I hold that Hatra Atzafek is considered to be a proper Hatra'a, which Reish Lakish says that cannot be the meaning of a Lavanit Klase, because Hatra Atzafek is not called Hatra'a. So if it's going to take you 20 years to find out whether you were ever over on the Lav, you'll never, ever get Malkus, whether you were Mekayimit or not Mekayimit, or Mavatalit or not Mavatalit. So obviously, the only way to understand a mitzvah's say as a Tikkun of a Lota say is that if you are Mekayimit, then you don't get Malkus. But if you're not Mekayimit, you can't tell Beis Din, no, don't hit me. I'm going to be Mekayim this tomorrow. Tomorrow is another day. Tomorrow is another happy day. But today is a getting beat up day. So either you're Mekayimit today, or we don't care about your plans for the future. Now, it happens to be that this Machlokas between Reish Lakish and Rabbi Yochanan works out very well and is consistent across the board with their shitas in other places. Because they're Osulatam Mayu, we know that they actually hold exactly that. Because in the case, which I introduced to you earlier, where a guy says, okay, Itma, Shvua Sholchal Kikar Zehayon, I'm going to eat this bread today. And the day is passing, tick-tock, tick-tock. Over Hayom, the day is over, and he never did what he said he was going to do. So that was now a Shvua Sheker. Both Rabbi Yochanan and Reish Lakish agree that in that case he does not get Malkus, but for two totally different reasons. They agree in the Psak, but not for the same reason. Rabbi Yochanan says, the reason you don't get Malkus is because you were over on the Shvua passively, and being over passively makes it a lav shein bo maaseh. Well, you're never going to be given malchus if there's no maaseh involved, and kol lo lav shein bo maaseh in lo kina lav. Whereas Rish Lakish says, you don't get Malkus because there's no way to give him Atra'ah. Every time you tell him, what are you telling him? Hey, don't watch TV. Eat that bread. Well, I'll eat the bread after I finish my program. Get out of here. Hey, don't read that novel. You have to be Mekayim Yer Shvua. Hold on, buddy. I got time. So at what point could you possibly give him the Hatra'ah when he says, hey, you've got to eat that bread. It's too late. I don't have enough time to eat that bread. Okay, so there's no way that you're going to be able to pinpoint a moment where it's not a Hatra'at Safek, you see? And therefore, that's why you can't give him Malkus, says Rish Lakish, because call Hatra'at Safek, lav shma Hatra'ah. So what this basically tells us is that the consistency, total consistency in the overall shita of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish relating the din of Hatra'at Safek directly to this din of kimo velo kimo, bitlo velo bitlo. Now, this has been a very abstract discussion, but it has rather concrete consequences, which are the welts on your back. So, it's kedai to get it straight. Now, we still have a little bit of time. Somebody's trying to say something. It sounds like a Barnea voice in the background.
Is that where welt and shock comes from?
He's impossible. It's not Weltanschauung, it's Weltanschauung. What's the matter with you? What language do you speak? So, now it turns out that Tarvayu Aliba de Rabbi Yehuda. Now, it turns out that both Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish have to actually be speaking in terms of Rabbi Yehuda's Shita. This may be, the truth is, this may be a little bit too complex to fit in the time that we have available. Okay, I'll settle with this. I'll settle with what we've got just briefly to take the minute that we have left to once again review what it is that we've done today, which has been quite remarkable and exciting. So we introduced a new idea, which is that besides the concept of lava nitakla ase, we also have a concept of a lav shekadmo ase. And Rabbi Yochanan suggested that there's totally different rules. We also, on the side, in the course of that discussion, we figured ways of interrelating the din of ones and motzi shemra and the concept of is there a mitzvah subsequent to the divorce of either the victim of a rape or the victim of Motzi Shemra. And we ended up with the Shita of Rava and Ravin, which Rabbi Yochanan was actually quoted by Ravin as agreeing with, that there is, in fact, a Amod V'Achzer. But it's a very strange Amod V'Achzer because it gives you Kol Yamav. So then we pointed out that you can't be given Kol Yamav if you hold of the idea of Kimo V'Lo Kimo, because kimo velo kimo would mean either you do it now or you don't do it now. What do you mean kol yamav? So therefore, we ended up getting into the machlokas to show the consistency of Rabbi Yochanan and Shita, that indeed the machlokas Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish about kimo velo kimo is that Rabbi Yochanan holds that the way to understand the relationship of the essay and the lav is indeed in terms of kimo velo kimo, which means that you don't complete the iser until you end up making it you don't complete the Isser until you remavato it. Whereas Rish Lakish, he says the Isser was completed when you divorced her. Now the question is, are you going to get Malkus? You can avoid the Malkus by just in time remarrying her before Beis Din gets to beat you up. Fine. So that was consistent with that machlokas. But then we saw that that machlokas was dependent on whether hatra'at safek shmeyatra or lav shmeyatra. And then we discovered that indeed across Shas, we find that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish consistently hold the very shitas that support their interpretation of kimo velo kimo, bitlo velo bitlo. So that according to Rabbi Yochanan, even though he holds that the lav is only going to be completed maybe 20, 50 years later, when you ended up being mevato of the assay that could have been metak in the lav, Who cares? At the time that you did the lav, you got malchus, you got hatra'ah, and therefore you'll now get malchus. Whereas according to Reish Lakish, that's absurd. That would be hatra'at safek. And therefore, the only way to understand it is the lav was completed at that moment. You were chai of malchus at that moment. You can prevent that malchus from being carried out by being mekayim the mitzvah saseh. But you were already chai of the malchus, and therefore the hatra'ah was hatra'at vadai, and not a hatra'at safek. So the complex interrelationship and interplay between these inyanim, I hope, has now firmly settled in our brains. And it's a lot of fun if it's firmly settled. But if it's not firmly settled, it's miserable. And sometimes too much porridge can get in the way of things firmly settling. A word to the wise should suffice. See you later, everyone. Wishing you a wonderful 10th day of the Omer, and looking forward to not only a Kabbalah Satera, but a Kabbalah Satera with a Geula Shlema, since it was also the time that Mashiach starts appearing. It's a good time for Mashiach to finally keep appearing. See you all very soon.